Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
The day Kobe gave my respect was the guys were complaining. I said, Shaq, Kobe's not passing the ball. I said, I'll talk to him. I said, Kobe, there's no I in team. And Kobe said, I know, but there's an in me and that.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
It's a great line. If you couldn't tell it through the beep, he said, there's no I in team. He said, I know, but there is an ME in that MF-er. That's right. Mm-hmm. There is an ME in team. Not bad. The memorial service for Kobe and Gigi Bryant has been hours long, sold out, Staples Center, a who's who of the basketball world, the entertainment world. Beyonce performed Kobe's favorite song. Jimmy Kimmel has been the MC. Vanessa Bryant's first public comments beyond her Instagram page, eulogizing both her husband and her daughter. Cannot imagine how difficult that must have been. Like, just Diana Taurasi, Gina Auriemma, because they're doing it for Gigi as well as Kobe. And, you know, she was going to go to UConn was the idea and was committed to being one of the best women's basketball players in the world and all these things. So it looks like it's been a very, very, very emotional day. And if people want to check it out, there's clips all over the internet. I heard Vanessa Bryant's speech in particular was very powerful, but Michael Jordan showed up, and I haven't heard MJ give a speech since his Hall of Fame speech. And that one did not exactly go over so well with a lot of people.
No. And there were some of us who were off put by Jordan's seeming lack of interest in participating in the NBA's tributes to Kobe Bryant during All-Star Week.
See, I didn't know that that was a thing. I was at the All-Star game and at the dunk contest, but I didn't realize that,
that was a criticism. They showed those Kobe's. Well, David Haw gave him a rough ride for it. Jordan and I did as well. But it was, for the most part, it wasn't talked about very much. I thought he should have had more of a presence in what they produced for television during the Bryant tributes. Yeah, there were just a couple of very short clips. Everybody else, Barack Obama in a gorgeous suit, Isaiah Thomas dressing the part, other Chicagoans, Chicago basketball people, Chicago celebrities all playing Jordan in a sloppy t-shirt for 3 or 4 seconds.
Oh, you're talking, I thought you meant for the Kobe stuff. For the Chicago basketball stuff? Yeah, I thought that.
Yes.
I was surprised Jordan was not more involved in the All-Star Weekend stuff. Yeah, I thought you meant for a Kobe tribute over All-Star Weekend. But so that. I don't know how this went. The internet seems to have liked it, but this is Michael Jordan in rare form. You don't get to hear from him at all, and then obviously feeling like an actual relatable human being who is mourning. Here is Michael Jordan's words in full at Kobe Bryant's memorial service earlier today.
I would say good morning, but it's afternoon. I'm grateful to Vanessa and the Bryant family for the opportunity to speak today. I'm grateful to be here to honor Gigi and celebrate the gift that Kobe gave us all. What he accomplished as a basketball player, as a businessman and a storyteller, and as a father. In the game of basketball, in life, as a parent, Kobe left nothing in the tank. He left it all on the floor. Maybe it surprised people that Kobe and I were very close friends. But we were very close friends. Kobe was my dear friend. He was like a little brother. Everyone always wanted to talk about the comparisons between he and I. I just wanted to talk about Kobe. You know, all of us have brothers and sisters, little sisters who, for whatever reason, always tend to get in your stuff, your closet, your shoes, everything. It was a nuisance, if I can say that word. But that nuisance turned into love over a period of time, just because the admiration that they had for you as big brothers or big sisters. The questions, the wanting to know every little detail about life that they were about to embark on. He used to call me, text me, 11:30, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, talking about post-up moves, footwork, and sometimes the triangle. At first, it was an aggravation. But then it turned into a certain passion. This kid had passion like you would never know. And it's an amazing thing about passion. If you love something, if you have a strong passion for something, you would go to the extreme to try to understand or try to get it. Either ice cream, Cokes, hamburgers, whatever you have a love for. If you have to walk, you would go get it. If you have to beg someone, you would go get it. What Kobe Bryant was to me was the inspiration that someone truly cared about the way either I played the game or the way that he wanted to play the game. He wanted to be the best basketball player that he could be. And as I got to know him, I wanted to be the best big brother that I could be. To do that, you had to put up with the aggravation, the late night calls, or the dumb questions. I took great pride as I got to know Kobe Bryant that he was just trying to be a better person, a better basketball player. We talked about business. We talked about family. We talked about everything. And he was just trying to be a better person. Now he's got me. I'll have to look at another crime meme for the Knicks.
That's a good line.
I told my wife I wasn't going to do this because I didn't want to see that for the next 3 or 4 years. That is what Kobe Bryant does to me. I'm pretty sure Vanessa and his friends all can say the same thing. He knows how to get to you in a way that affects you personally, even though if he's being a pain in the ass. But you ever have a sense of love for him and the way that he can bring out the best in you. And he did that for me. I remember maybe a couple of months ago, he sends me a text. And he's saying, I'm trying to teach my daughter some moves. And I don't know what I was thinking or what I was working on.
But what were you thinking about when you were trying to, as you were growing up, trying to work on your moods? I said, what age? He says, 12. I said, 12, I was trying to play baseball. He sends me a text back saying, and this is at 2 o'clock in the morning. But the thing about him was we could talk about anything that related to basketball, but we can talk about anything that related to life. And we, as we grow up in life, rarely have friends that we can have conversations like that. Well, it's even rare when you can grow up against adversaries and have conversations like that. I went and saw Phil Jackson in 1999 or maybe 2000. I don't know when Phil was here in L.A. And I walk in and Kobe's sitting there. And the first thing, I'm in a suit. First thing Kobe said, did you bring your shoes? No, I wasn't thinking about playing. But his attitude to compete and play against someone he felt like he could enhance and improve his game. To me, that's what I loved about the kid. Absolutely loved about the kid. No matter where he saw me, it was a challenge. And I admired him because his passion, you rarely see someone who's looking and trying to improve each and every day. Not just in sports, but as a parent, as a husband. I am inspired by what he's done and what he's shared with Vanessa and what he's shared with his kids. I have a daughter who's 30, who just became a grandparent. And I have two twins. I have twins at 6. I can't wait to get home to become a girl dad. And to hug them and to see the love that they, and the smiles that they bring to us as parents. He taught me that just by looking at this tonight, looking at how he responded and reacted with the people they actually loved. These are the things that we will continue to learn from Kobe Bryant. To Vanessa, Natalia, Bianca, Capri, my wife and I, we'll keep you close in our hearts and our prayers. We will always be here for you, always. I also want to offer our condolences and support to all the families affected by this enormous tragedy. Kobe gave every last ounce of himself to whatever he was doing. After basketball, he showed a creative side to himself that I didn't think any of us knew he had. In retirement, he seemed so happy. He found new passions, and he continued to give back as a coach in his community. More importantly, he was an amazing dad, amazing husband, who dedicated himself to his family and who loved his daughters with all his heart. Kobe never left anything on the court. And I think that's what he would want for us to do. No one knows how much time we have. That's why we must live in the moment. We must enjoy the moment. We must reach and see and spend as much time as we can with our families and friends and the people that we absolutely love. To live in the moment means to enjoy each and every one that we come in contact with. When Kobe Bryant died, a piece of me died. And as I look in this arena and across the globe, a piece of you died. Or else you wouldn't be here. Those are the memories that we have to live with and we learn from. I promise you, from this day forward, I will live with the memories of knowing I had a little brother that I tried to help in every way I could.
Please rest in peace, little bro.
Wow. Michael Jordan at the Kobe and Gigi Bryant memorial service earlier on today.
Ah, incredible stuff. Really, really strong Jordan there. I wasn't expecting anything close to that. The level to which he broke down was, well, it's, you know, you tell he was hurting, and he has been hurting and will continue. I wasn't anywhere close to thinking that's what we were going to hear. How about you? What were your expectations?
I mean, I was tipped off a little bit just by my Twitter timeline, but that was the most human and relatable that I've ever heard Michael Jordan. Right? I mean, everything about him.
It might be.
Right? Everything about him, public facing, was larger than life, impossible competitor, impossible to match. He could be a real SOB, even to the people closest to him, right? Mm-hmm. Punching teammates and all of that. Billionaire, cutthroat. He became an owner. Like, there were things mm-hmm. with labor disputes where he actually sided with ownership over players when he was the greatest player. So that even made him less relatable. He's this, like, removed figure. The NBA does a great job of celebrating their past. Like, you see Magic Johnson and Bill Russell and Dr. J at everything.
Yes.
Right? Jerry West. You see the greatest living NBA players. You see them at everything.
And a lot of young players who want to be around them, too.
Right, but you never see Jordan. He's this, like, mythical, mystical being who smokes cigars and is on golf courses and jet sets in his own plane.
Call him what it is. He's perceived to be too cool for the room regularly.
And he often is.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yes. So,
and he probably is too cool for the right in a room with Tiger Woods and LeBron James and Jay-Z. If Michael Jordan walks in, he's the most famous person in the room. Like, that's a crazy amount of fame. But when you're mourning a good friend who you consider a little brother, that all of a sudden becomes relatable.
Yes, absolutely. Right? That's what we want, isn't it? Don't we want in some way, now, I don't think it's perverse, but we want to know people are hurting, especially if you were hurt. And I know you were affected by it far more than I was because he is your generation's guy. You want to see people care. You want to know their world has been rocked. Those tears are validation for how maybe you've been feeling or seeing a lot of other people feel. And I thought it was terrific. And to joke about the crying meme.
That was great.
That was good.
that was a good line.
That was outstanding.
And you could also hear pride, right? Like, Jordan always was, like, he questioned, wasn't that earlier this year where he still was like, I don't know if Steph Curry's a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't give out compliments to basketball players easily because he is the guy who's like, talk to me when you get six. Like, he's very much as protective of his stature as the GOAT. And so he's complimentary of LeBron. He's complimentary of those. But it's always kind of couched with something. It's to a point. Right? At the Russell Westbrook, when he was asked about how tough it would be to average a triple-double, he was like, it's tougher to win six championships. Like Jordan's kind of a jerk when it comes to anything that is praise of other basketball players.
Always has been, yes.
But you could hear the pride in that Kobe maximized his talents largely by, it's self-serving, it was largely by imitating Jordan, asking him how to do the moves, asking him how he handles the media, asking him how he dresses, mm-hmm. and imitating all that stuff. But like what you just heard there was pride. Right? There was sadness and pride with Michael Jordan about Kobe Bryant.
Genuine sadness.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, as we're listening to it, we have Channel 9 on in the studio for some reason. They were showing highlights from the funeral. And there were from the services today at Staples Center. And there was Jordan, and he was just drenched in tears.
Yeah.
He had snot. He had tears all over the place. That was genuine, absolutely.
And there's a pretty powerful, like, short little clip online of Vanessa Bryant walking off the stage at Staples after her speech, and she's got to walk down like three or four stairs. It's like an elevated platform, and Jordan stands up from his seat and goes over and like helps her down. And so she takes Jordan's hand to walk down. He just looks like he nailed the moment. And you don't hear Jordan. Shaq was funny. Kimmel was a good MC. Vanessa, obviously the most powerful of the day because she's, again, eulogizing her husband and one of her daughters.
Yeah,
but
it's, you know, it's a month is a good amount of time, I think, for people to catch their breath a little bit. And I'm sure it's easy to say for me. I mean, they're the ones who had to speak today. I would think easier today than it would have been 3 weeks ago once you have a chance to digest your new life and move past it. Because I was thinking over the weekend, man, it seems like they're getting around to this service for Kobe Bryant awfully late. And then today you hear that, you understand why.
Yeah, they did a private, I think, service for the
on the 7th, yes.
Yeah, right, for the family and the burial or whatever it was. But then this was the public thing that they wanted to do. And listen, it's the Lakers, it's Hollywood, everyone's got to get there and be branded, but her number was 2, his was 24, they did it on 224. You know, this was a show. It was a sold-out Staples Center,
yep.
Beyonce was there. I don't know, are there limited NBA games today? I saw Steph Curry there, I saw Russell Westbrook there. Like, I wonder if that had something to do with it, too, if they wanted to pick a day where current guys could fly in and go to those games. So, I don't know, that was
8 games today.
One of them being
the Clippers game tonight.
Oh, so, all right. Well, a lot of guys were there. So they made a point to make it out to L.A. for it. So the clips are all going around online.
Real good, Jordan.
Yeah.
That's good.
Very, very impressive. You don't hear them like that. We could use some laughs. I don't know if we found the Francesa stuff, but I've got a moment of incompetent fatherhood I can bring you as well. It's McNeil and Parkins on the school.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Shut up. Make movies.
Mike Francesa, the film critic. Not exactly a second career for him. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join the Wildcats at Welsh Ryan Arena this Thursday. They host Illinois at 7. Tickets on sale at NUSports.com.
As long as it's not a Chop Chop movie.
That's right.
He doesn't like those horror films.
No.
It wants nothing to do with those.
So what did you hear? What did you hear that he was in on the ground floor
chop,
of?
Chop Chop movie. I don't watch Chop Chop movies.
Well, this is going to be news for a lot of people. And it's going to be a lot of news for people your age. But Mike Francesa is on to something regarding technology.
Now, the Wi-Fi will probably be so good in the stadiums then that will be so many levels into the whatever's past 5G, I guess 6G, whatever goes past 5G will be good.
Six.
That, you know, a lot of times in stadiums where there's so many phones you can't get good service, that'll be a thing of the past. And you can use your phone for anything anyway. I mean, think about it. You can go use your phone now in so many places where you can just swipe your phone to do anything. You're going to be able to do anything you want with your phone. I mean, your phone's going to be able to do anything that you need, buy anything. Get any ticket, get anything. You're not going to need money. You're not going to need identification. All that stuff is going to all be inside your phone.
It's
coming.
That's coming without any question.
That's coming.
That's why you can't lose your phone.
Danny.
I mean, you're going to be in big trouble if you lose your phone.
We'll get there.
Before you know it, you'll be able to get on an airplane with your phone.
Wow.
It's coming.
Yeah, no, give it time. What do you think, 5 years?
You won't need a ticket. You just use your phone to get in the United Center.
That's pretty good. That's
He's on top of it, isn't he?
He's right there. Yeah. What do you think he's rocking? The iPhone 6?
I have no idea.
What do you think?
I don't know.
That is special. We'll get there eventually, Mike. That's really good. He's
That day's coming.
6 to 6:30 Eastern on the radio.com app. You could hear Mike
Perfect.
Princess.
Perfect.
Not bad, right?
That's great. Less ice time for aging players.
Your phone's going to be able to do anything that you need. Buy anything. Get
it's
any ticket. Get anything. You're not going to need money. You're not going to need identification. All that stuff is going to all be inside your phone.
We're getting there.
That's coming without any question.
How old are his producers? Can they help him? Does he have anybody who can?
They get tased if they speak.
Well,
I think,
and that,
is what
that also is a podcast, right? So that's not live.
No, it's live. He does it from his house from six to 6:30.
Nobody can stop him and say, "Let's re-rack from the top."
No, Mike, this has
been going on for several years now. You're late to the party.
No.
It's always been a curious case with his producers, Mons, and, you know, the things that they let the callers, you know, I know you callers are good at selling it. They say they want to talk about one thing, but then they talk about something else once they get on the air. I know that's part of it, but some of the things that they let them say and do over the years, I'm starting to think maybe they don't like them.
It's a lazily produced show. We'll just say
I don't want to say that. So I don't know how hard they're working, but
there's
certainly some things that are like,
The whole thing, but I mean, it's just a monologue, a few guests, and calls for...
Big guests, used to though.
Big guests, absolutely. But for 5 hours, and it's just like, okay, yeah, they just let it go.
Didn't the Bears go to paperless this past year at Soldier Field?
Yes.
I thought they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were not accepting tickets. They were only letting people in with the ticket on their phone.
One day, Mac.
One day.
That's how
you'll have to get in.
It's going to happen. It's going to be exciting when it does.
Groceries delivered to your door one day. Imagine that. You don't even have to talk to anybody. You just go on your phone. There'll be some app, some big company will just deliver it to your house. They'll partner with a big food group.
Yeah, Amazon eventually is going to sell more than books.
Eventually.
It's coming.
One of these days.
This segment is brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Plymouth Jeep. Texter says there's no such thing as being incompetent your first go-around in fatherhood. I appreciate that, but... It's been a few days since this happened. This happened right middle of last week, paternity week, last Tuesday, Wednesday. But I'm in the living room. Steph and I had finished up lunch. Owen is in his bassinet in our bedroom. We just live in a, you know, two-bedroom condo over in the Lincoln Park area. So it's not too big. He's not too far away. Doors open. So if he starts crying, we can hear him, no problem. But has an errand for me to do. No problem. I can go do an errand. He's sleeping. It's the middle of the day. I just had food. I'm rested. I'm going to go do an errand.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Yeah.
Forgot Owen was in the bedroom. Forgot. Just went into the room, flipped on the light. It was loud. My shoes were in there. And I was like, oh, yeah, I am with child. It still is relatively surprising to me. Like seeing him. It's a weird thing. Like when I'm feeding him, I obviously don't forget.
You're aware he's there?
I'm aware he's there. He's on the back of my phone. It's amazing. I was in the hospital 31 consecutive days, 4 with Steph leading up to the delivery, 27 with Owen. Been equal partner in changing diapers and feeds and, you know what I mean, doing things, paying people for Jiffy to assemble furniture. Like, I am an invested dad.
Yeah.
Taking paternity leave in 2020.
He has a room, too, though. You got to remember that.
It's where my closet is, and I just barreled in and turned
on. Woke him?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Woke him. Turned on the light. Was loud, pushing the door open.
Right before you leave.
Right before I left. Just like, God. Damn. I didn't say anything. Oh, I guess I got
you
wow.
Literally did.
Oh yeah, I guess when you combine
I saw the comma in the sentence.
When you combine really those two words, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh. Damn. All right.
Yeah, you're like a teenager. I didn't say anything as soon as you said it. God, you're the worst.
My bad.
Is that the first time today you've dumped us?
There was one earlier.
Yeah. Mine?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I thought so. I didn't ask, but I thought so.
Really?
Yeah.
God, we are amateurs.
I think it's been said before what I said. Just maybe not
in the 90s.
Let's move on.
No. Yeah. Let's
go back to Danny.
Let's go back to Danny.
He didn't say anything.
Danny.
I didn't say anything.
Being a neglectful father.
I'm not a neglectful father. I just forgot. Forgot he was in there. It hasn't sunk in. I'm like,
she was home.
Yeah, she goes.
Okay.
Of course,
that's
she was
okay.
home.
That's
yeah.
okay. It's not leaving him in the car. That's okay.
I didn't leave him anywhere.
Right.
I didn't leave him anywhere. It was just, hey, can you run to the grocery store?
Right.
And, oh, sure, I need my shoes. And I'm off and I get my shoes and I went into the room like I would go into the room if there wasn't a baby in there. Problem was, there was a baby in there.
Did you at least stay to placate him? Or
yeah,
did you,
he
you
fell
pass
back
off the assignment.
No, he fell back asleep. It was not terrible, but I certainly felt like, huh, I guess this hasn't totally sunk in yet. On day whatever it was, 33 of life, it wasn't totally, you know, but only day 5 of him being home. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
you just forget these things. And I will say also about parenting, if I may, not that complicated yet. Now, that's not me saying that it's easy. That's not me saying that it won't get really complicated. But right now, at least in my experience with my child, if he is upset, it has been one of three things and three things only.
Right.
He is either hungry, has a diaper situation,
or Jim Boylan called a timeout for no reason.
He hasn't ranted and raved about that yet. Or he's got some gas.
Yeah.
And he's either dirty and wet. That's diaper. He's either got some indigestion.
Uh-huh.
That's burp. Or they're hungry. That's bottle. There's not really a D.
Right.
There's not really a door
right.
number 4.
Yes. Simple functions.
So that's. Yeah. So I'm just saying. Now, operating with no sleep, the balancing act of, you know, having some you time and take care of your wife and take care of the child and like feeling like you've got a balance. That equilibrium is very off right now.
Mm-hmm.
But and I do kind of feel like Superman when he's crying and it's a 3 a.m. feed and it's my turn to get up. And like this child is crying and it's not Steph's turn. It's my turn. And there's no one else in the house. And then he stops crying. Because I solved it.
Whoa,
I'm just saying, boy. As someone who doesn't change his tire and uses the Jiffy app for things, like I never have used my own promo code Jiffy to come over and change a diaper and burp. I'm like, I'm doing all this myself.
All this.
It's a tremendous feeling of being a superhero.
Like you said, it's easy. The first 6 months will be. In 10 years, you will look at the first 6 months as clearly the easiest.
Yeah, you think so?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I imagine it'll get more complicated, tougher. They'll be moving. Got to keep. Because now, I mean, you can just kind of put him somewhere and he just lays there.
He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
Yeah, it is.
Just saying. Have you ever forgotten that Peyton was there, Shep? Have you done this?
Absolutely not.
Not one time.
No,
okay.
Not great. Forgotten that she was like in the house or in a room. No.
Okay. It's just me.
It's
all right,
a.
Awesome.
Like I go to shower and I make sure that she is in the bedroom that's attached to the bathroom that I shower in. Like, okay, I know where she is at all times in case you hear the crying and knowing, being on top of, all right, yep, got to figure out how we're going to handle this one. Always being present or always being aware of where she is.
All right. Well, I forgot. I'll admit it. Not proud of it. Not happy about it. Didn't take very long. There's no harm done.
Is he laying
exactly.
on the boppy yet?
Yes.
On the boppy? Okay. Because that's key when he starts to... I know they say don't leave him unattended. The boppy.
It's hard not to.
We called it a binky in Seattle.
But just when he starts moving a bit, then that she's at the stage where like you can't turn your head away from her.
She'll roll off of it.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah, because now Steph and I can have dinner and put him on the... Just put him on the kitchen table on that little boppy pillow, and he just lays there. It's like dinner for three. It's great. But yeah, I am worried that once
you have dinner with him on the table, you sit him on the table.
He's the centerpiece.
With dinner?
Yeah.
While you guys are having dinner.
Yeah.
He's there like he's an entree item potentially.
Yeah. Huh? Past the sushi.
That 6¾-pound roast.
Yeah. Oh, tender. But yeah, you just put him up there. He's fine.
Okay.
Listen, I might be damaging him. I don't know.
No. No. You're fine.
I think I'm fine.
You're doing great so far.
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you can't mess much up right now.
That's what I'm saying. It's reassuring on some fundamental level.
He has no idea who disturbed his slumber the other day. He has no idea it was you.
No.
He'll resent you for other things, but that won't be one of them.
Right. I don't think we've messed him up psychologically yet.
No, probably too difficult in this short period of time.
Yeah, but it's coming.
Although, you know, kids do, they say people form their values way earlier than what we ever would have guessed years back.
Really?
Like by 5 or 6 years old, a person's personality, much of their value system already is in place, and how they will look at the world already is established. So think about that while you're ignoring your son.
I don't ignore him. I read him books every day. I talk to him.
I'm sorry, you're right. Forgetting that he's in the room.
I forgot he was there one time. It's not terrible. Come on. He came home last Thursday. So he's been home, 11 days?
Like, I
only forgot him once.
I don't know. My first thought always when I walk home is, okay, where's Peyton? All right, where's she at? Where is she?
Yes.
And that's my thought until I leave the next day or until I leave the house to go run errands or whatever it might be, is where is she at all times? It's in my head. Oh, mom's with her. Oh, she's sitting in her seat in the living room while we're eating dinner in the kitchen or whatever it might be.
Well, my thought was, where are my shoes? Oh, in the room.
Owen, give me my damn shoes,
I should go get my shoes. That was my thought.
Owen, cover your ears, little buddy. Mommy's going to make me some fresh squeezed orange juice.
By the way, that service has been slowed down.
Has it really?
Yeah,
I can't imagine why.
Kind of upsetting. Listen, I mean.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Danny used to get freshly squeezed orange juice every morning, brought to him in bed by his wife, Steph.
That's right. It's a little.
Not anymore.
It's been a little lax.
Here's your orange juice.
It's been a little lax.
Yeah, right there.
I know. It's fine. I've been pouring it myself recently. I guess it's fine.
You're going to be great.
I mean, I guess it's fine. Pour your own orange juice. But, you know, it's not as nice. Breakfast in bed.
What do you bring for her?
I got to say nothing. Yeah, I haven't been.
Have you ever?
Yeah. Has coffee.
She's asked for that. Reciprocity is the key to every relationship.
That's not an area where I thrive because
what being reciprical?
No. I, you know, very, very give and take relationship. I'd say the morning section. She's an early riser, so this, like, this part for her, like the sleep stuff up early. That's not a problem for her. That is an adjustment for your boy. So I am getting. So yeah, coffee in bed for her is not normal because she likes to get up with the sunrise and do it herself.
You're off the hook then for breakfast.
Yeah, but I, you know, dinners.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
With Owen sitting on the table.
More laying on the table. But yeah, he's fine. He's going to be fine. I don't think I'm going to mess this kid up too badly. Yet. I know. It's coming. All right, I'm trying to be honest and share my insecurities of fatherhood, like forgetting my child. Hopefully some of you can relate to this. I have a story for you, Mac. I would posit the most Cleveland story ever. I don't really know why, but it just feels like, hey, who did this? Cleveland. It's next on the score.
Who let the dogs out? Hooter!
Okay, so I saw this online over the weekend, and I thought it was fake. And then I saw more tweets about it, and I thought, oh, okay, I guess maybe it's real. But
it's happened, yeah.
But I didn't think it was a public thing, but Swagger was the past tense, RIP, to the Browns mascot. Swagger, the 140-pound bull mastiff.
Yeah, 145 pounds of bull mastiff. A service was held Saturday to remember Swagger, and many dogs attended.
It was a celebration of life, and Cleveland.com.
You're a dog or a friend of a dog.
Was Buck there?
Buck would have brought him back to life.
Oh, what an incredible dog.
Cancer, pneumonia, I'll take care of that. Yeah, Swagger was only six.
Swagger only six, and he's the Browns mascot. But so they held a celebration of life service with the replacement bull mastiff. And this was the part that I found to be odd and very creepy. It was an open casket. They broadcast an open casket funeral for a 145-pound dog.
Technically, I don't know if it was a casket, but he was laid out on something for people to walk by and pay their final respects. I've never seen that with a pet before. Not that he was just a pet. He did represent all things Cleveland Browns football.
Could you imagine the guy in Cleveland calling in for his job? Hey, Bill, I got to take a half day. I got to go pay my respects to Swagger.
Swagger. They've got Swagger laid out today. We're going to stop by and...
schools are closed. It's a day of mourning across the city.
I've not seen that. I've not heard of that. I know people do crazy things for their dogs these days.
Yeah, so we decided that because this is the most Cleveland story ever, and they did a live stream of it on Cleveland.com, we would have Tanny review the funeral service. So this is the audio from Swagger. Swagger's celebration of life ceremony.
Hey everyone, it's Hannah Drown with Cleveland.com, and I am out in Willoughby Hills today for the visitation as well as the celebration of life for Browns mascot Swagger. So I'm going to go inside to where his visitation service is currently underway. Just a warning for anybody who might not want to see it. Swagger does have an open casket. He is laid out. So again, I'm going to be walking in there right now. Just a warning for anybody. For the next few minutes, you may want to switch over to a different tab.
What's our numbers up to?
Still about 600.
Wow.
We're over 1,000 at one point.
No kidding. That's amazing. Technology. That is absolutely amazing.
Oh my God. I just want to warn you viewers out there.
You're on Cleveland.com and you're telling people to go away?
Viewer discretion is advised.
What are you doing? We've got people here for the first time because we're showing a dead dog.
The images you're about to see might be disturbing, but I'm going to walk in. I am walking in. I am opening the door. I am proceeding in. I'm going down the processional line. It was JFK's processional.
So I'm actually here with Swagger's dad right now. What was his favorite part about being a Browns mascot?
Oh, he loved the fans. He loved the fans. When I talk a little bit later, I'm going to be telling you some stories about him in the stadium when it wasn't so full. And when it was full, but he absolutely loved the fans. He adored them. He loved the children. And he loved the kids.
Incredible.
His dad?
Was that Shep barking?
How about his owner?
If the dog's dad is there for comment, shouldn't the dad be barking? That's right. How dogs make noise.
I'm with the bereaved father. What? No, it's his master. It's his owner. It's not the dad.
You know, Swagger was the kind of dog that... no matter if it was the opposing team that was dressed up in their paraphernalia and regalia, it just didn't bother him. He was totally cool with it.
Right.
And, you know, some couples were Browns, like split households, and he would still do photos and didn't care. He was the constant non-political, but yet supportive of, you know.
Just loved people in general.
Love people. He was that kind of dog.
Swagger was an independent.
It doesn't matter. Even Steelers fans found a way to enjoy Swagger. He was not a prejudiced dog.
Swagger was a Capricorn. He enjoyed long walks on the beach and taking pictures with the Ravens.
They threw their little terrible towels into the ground.
Yeah. He didn't hold it against the Ravens franchise that they left Cleveland. That is incredible.
Swagger already has a successor.
Yeah, his son, who was in front of the
son of Swagger, Chomps.
Typical NFL nepotism.
Yeah, he was unavailable for comments. He was just.
But I got to say one more clip here. You know, Baker Mayfield. You know, he gets a rough ride in the media, but I got something here that might change that.
What about with the players? Were there any players that were especially close with Swagger?
The most with was the latest quarterback we have, which is Baker Mayfield. Him and Baker got along very well.
Mm-hmm. I know I saw Baker in a lot of the photos back there.
Yes, they did a photo shoot campaign together, and Baker had asked me, I think at one time, if he could have him. I'm like, he's part of the team, so.
You can babysit. How about that?
Yeah. Should we get this reporter on? That is What a weird thing in your career.
Covering a dog's funeral.
And treating it like it's a serious thing.
Yeah, I've never heard of a dog's funeral before. Have you?
I mean, for a family. Like, we buried our dog in the backyard. We say a few words. The kids cry. Something like, you know what I mean? But come on.
With visitation?
An open casket?
Just with the family. You don't have visitation.
No. You don't invite the neighbors. Omar always would pee in their yard.
You don't do you?
No.
Buy and eat good deli food for a day and a half.
There's no kugel and corned beef. Yeah. What an odd Cleveland story.
Well, it's a dog story, too. It's Clevelandy and it's doggy.
Man, but you can get a Max and Benny spread. I kind of wish my dog died.
There, now you're going to be a dog guy just for the funeral. Danny always says that. All right. Sometimes, what do you call Chicago, Shep? Cowtown with buildings?
Cowtown with skyscrapers, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we'd do that.
Well, we don't have a dog mascot. Otherwise, we would. You know damn well we would.
I don't know, man.
No, we don't have any animal mascots. All of the mascots are people in silly costumes. Well, I shouldn't say silly. Some of them are pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I like Benny.
Yeah, I guess Benny's probably the best of the bunch.
Yeah, Benny's the best of the bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not particularly close.
DeBull when he was a drug dealer.
DeBull, we covered that. Right. We had DeBull last week.
Lately.
Yep. Yes.
I missed the DeBull reference.
There was a marijuana arrest in sports last week, and we were talking about Chicago connections too. Guys who got busted with weed, and DeBull was mentioned.
Oh, okay, good.
That's why they took his 95 off of his back.
I didn't need to call in for that. You guys had that one covered.
Yeah, we covered it.
That's good.
Yeah.
The biggest story from the weekend in sports. Plus, I felt a thing with the Bulls recently that I haven't felt in a long, long time. I think it might be optimism. I'll give you the chance to talk me out of it coming up on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.